Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a great show lined up for you today. Two guests. First hour, it is Conquer COPD. Why should you care about COPD? Well, it's now 20-some million people have it, and it's the third leading cause of death in the United States, and had rapidly climbed to that stage, I should say. Dawn Leslie Fielding, who is a pulmonology therapist and has gotten a technique that she thinks works incredibly well. We'll talk to her about how it works and why, in fact, COPD is climbing so much in women. Dawn Leslie Fielding, the bottom of this hour. The bottom of next hour, one of my favorite authors. That's why we had to do two special guests this week. My favorite author, Catherine Price, who's going to talk about vitamins and where you should have them and where you shouldn't. Absolutely wonderful. She is absolutely a superb guest, I believe, and we're lucky enough to capture her. So that is, in fact, our lineup for today on guests. And of course, at the bottom of the first hour, we'll have my favorite always. I'm sorry, at the middle of the second hour, we have my favorite always, Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic, what's not? He's going to talk about some really what I think are important issues in toxicity, including what are the occupations that you're most likely to get lymphoma at, and we'll come over some other key areas that he's going to cover as well. My favorite, of course, is he's going to talk about hoarding. Hoarding in the USA is a serious disorder. Now, this stunned me when I learned it. It is, in fact, the most common disorder of obsessive-compulsive disorders. So we'll have to get to that, but it is, I think it is, something over, and don't hold me to this, we'll get to it though when we come to that story, something over 11 million people have a hoarding disorder, and it triples their rate of death. So we'll come back to that because it's such an interesting. We're also going to talk to Gary Ginsberg. Fracking, it's a debate, but what is at the core of the debate? It appears to be methane leakage, and how can you detect it? What does it mean to you? E-cigarette use is skyrocketing amongst teens. And is it just addicting people, or is it a good way to get off of real tobacco? In the first hour, we'll cover how to avoid Zika and what can you avoid it if you go to certain countries, and what countries, are there any Caribbean countries or hot weather countries that don't have mosquitoes, that have done such a good job at mosquito abatement that you really don't have to worry about Zika? And I'll come back to that because it started with a question to us. The real age choices are validated again, and we'll come to that again. Prediabetes may damage your nerves. That means there's more need to reverse it early, and it can be reversed. And would you let your child play football knowing that about 40% of veteran football players now show brain injury from playing football? And can more fiber in your diet restore your microbiome diversity to make you younger? And the Auto Omega segment, does extra vegetable oil lower your cholesterol? And if it does it result in better outcome? Now, I don't want you to feel sick for me today, but my computer's acting up on me, issue because I got a file that it was in the wrong format, but we'll get that straightened out and I'll get this show going properly, but that's what's been happening a little bit. So I apologize for the delays in this, but we'll get it going. So let's talk a little bit about your choices and what they mean. A major article out this week looked at your life expectancy of the wealthy and those who are disadvantaged or the poor, and found that the life expectancies of both have been going up, but of the wealthier much more than the poor. But they also found a very interesting thing, that the those who were poor but lived in cities that required higher income levels, such as San Francisco, lived longer than those who were poor and lived in low-income cities, such as who lived in Detroit or Cleveland. And what that really found out when they delved down to it is, in high-income cities, the poor do more healthy choices than in low-income cities. Now, is that due to the cities? Is it due to what else is going on in the cities? Is it due to that it's easier for transportation, for healthy food? We don't know that. But one thing that was stunning is that the smoking rates of the poor — smoking is a very expensive habit — but the smoking rates of the poor in high income cities were much reduced compared to the smoking rates of the poor in low income cities. So maybe it isn't something other than the amount of contributions or charity in the poor cities. It may be that, in fact, the poor make healthier choices because they see healthier choices all around them in the wealthier cities. We don't know the answer to that, but the basic message that I really want to stress is that your choices do count. That is, if you make healthy choices, they will show up in your living longer and living with less disability. No matter whether you live in a poor city or wealthy city, no matter whether you're poor or wealthy, that your choices really do count for not only how long you live, but whether you live with disability or not. It isn't just the economy. It is your specific choices. And that comes to our next story, which is about prediabetes. So this is a story about prediabetes damaging your nerves. So this article, medicine has never considered prediabetes a very serious thing to treat. That is, we want to help you avoid getting diabetes, but the actual treatment of prediabetes, whether you get treated for it or not, we thought the major benefit was in stopping you getting diabetes. But it turns out that prediabetics have a lot of tingling in hands and feet. And this tingling actually correlates or is associated with real nerve damage. So the point that we want to bring up on this is that the reversing prediabetes is in fact a doable thing, that it isn't that hard, and that it only requires a little more physical activity, a little healthier food, and then managing stress. Now, you say all of those things are tougher. Yes, but what that prediabetes and the tingling in hands and feet signal is your deterioration in your nerves. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Fact. All probiotic bacteria strains are not created equal, and only Natron cultures its own strains in-house for unparalleled quality and potency. The reasons why this makes Natron's Healthy Trinity the world's best triple-strain probiotic are endless, so we let our satisfied customers do the talking.
Hi, this is Shane from San Francisco. I'm a registered nurse. I'm also an instructor at the University of San Francisco. I teach pharmacology there. I've been taking probiotics for 12 years, and after extensive research, I discovered Natron probiotics. I started taking them, and after about 2 weeks, I noticed increased digestive health, increased energy, and I can't recommend the product highly enough.
Try Healthy Trinity risk-free for 90 days. Plus, the first 20 orders get free second-day express delivery. Call 1-866-4-NATRON. That's 1-866-4-N-A-T-R-E-N. Or visit Natron.com and enter promo code RadioMD. Natron.com.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike, you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. Obesity in teens raises the risk for illness and death in middle age. This is a study of 2 million Israelis who looked at those who were overweight and followed them for a number of years compared to those who were thin as teens. And what they find? Well, it turns out that the obese teenagers had a 2 to 3-fold increased risk of death in middle age. Now, you said, what do you mean by, why is it 2 to 3-fold? And the reason is simple, because it's not clear where the range is. That it turned out that it was 2.5-fold, but the range is 2 to 3-fold. So what we know is that obese teenagers face an increased risk of dying from heart disease or stroke. By the time they reach middle age, 50, the increased risk started at age 30. So this is a really actual interesting, if you will, study, in that they looked at these 2 million kids for a number of years till age 50. So this has been going on a long time. What that means for you as parents is you've got to stop overfeeding the kids, and we've got to really make an attempt at it. So in the United States, 1/5 of our teenagers are obese. So we've got to really do something about this if we're not going to have a lot of problems later on. Okay, one of the other stories I liked is the one on football. And this is, would you let your kids play football? And the answer is, we don't know. That is, this is an interesting study. 40 NFL retirees who averaged playing, I think it was 7 years. And when they averaged playing 7 years, the football players were then studied as they retired for... I'm not sure how long it was, we'll see, but they were studied and I'm lost my place here, so I apologize, but they were studied with a special test of their brain that looked at brain water. And what they found with this test is that the football players had 43% of them had injury that looked like traumatic brain injury long term. So this is a special scan, and I don't know, it's called a DTI scan. I'm going to try and find out more about it. But the DTI scan is a scan that does detect traumatic brain injury, and half of the subjects developed significant problems also with executive function and memory problems. 24% had spatial and perceptual problems. Now, you could say, well, how many of these guys had it before they went in the NFL? How many of these guys had it would have had it without playing football? We don't know that. But Dr. Francis Conedi, who's one of the study authors, said in a statement, this is one of the largest statements of living retired NFL players. And the other scary part of this was looking at players, I think their average age they looked at was 35. Let's see if I can find that. I'll find that in a second in this study. But it was... they're even at age 35 or 45, these players had major signs of brain dysfunction. And what that means is that I think it's very tough. Oh, the average age was 36. Subjects ranged from 25 to 56, and they played an average of 7 years in the NFL. They had an average of 8.1 concussions in the NFL, and 31% of them had what they recorded was subconcussive effects. Probably everyone had subconcussive effects. But in any case, it brings up the sense of there's a fairly sizable risk for playing football and probably for playing a number of other sports such as soccer and lacrosse, obviously rugby, and so the question, hockey. And so the question is, if you were a mom, would you allow your son to play that sport? Because there are obvious benefits, too. You learn how to play as a teammate. You learn how to work in a team, etc. And so the question is, have we got other things that help us learn to play and work in teams that don't have the same risks? And what does it mean to football long term? And concordant with this study, data from the Pee Wee Football League came out, and in fact this fall was the first time ever they've had a decrease in the number of kids who signed up for Pee Wee Football. By the way, if you want to call us and talk to us, 844-305-7800. We'd love your input. 844-305-7800. If you want to email, the email line is open. udocs@gmail.com. 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 And we'd love your input on it, because obviously I have one point of view on this. They are informed by the science, but it's just a biased point of view of saying, yeah, maybe it does matter, and maybe we shouldn't have our kids playing football where there's a chance of this, if you will, collisions that are so severe. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, the COPD solution. That's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, three diseases, asthma, emphysema, and bronchitis, a proven 10-week program for living and breathing better with chronic lung disease by Don Leslie Fielding. In the second hour, of course, Gary Ginsberg plus Vitamania. We'll be right back after the break in this hour, but before we do that, I'm going to try and squeeze in one more story. Can more fiber in your diet restore your microbiome? That is, can you get healthier microbiome with more fiber in your diet? And this is a interesting story, because what apparently the bacteria, when you've studied the microbiome as we get older, our microbiome becomes less diverse. That is, the number of bacteria inside us becomes less diverse, and that lack of diversity is associated with aging. So that lack of diversity associated with aging, and one of the statements is we're eating so much less fiber, and really the bacteria live off of fiber. Can you replace that? Can you correct that by us eating more fiber? Well, the answer is we don't have an answer to it, but the question is, how do we get more fiber in our diet? And there's some easy ways. One of those I like is Metamucil. You all know that I take a teaspoon of Metamucil at the start of every meal. That's the way to do it, so you don't get, if you will, cramping abdominal pain. But in any case, when we come back, we're going to talk about diet, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and all the other things you should do for it. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, Dawn Leslie Fielding. Coming up, the COPD solution.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
You listen when your body says, "I'm tired," or "I'm hungry." Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, "I have pain and pressure in my abdomen. I feel bloated for no good reason." Or, "I get too full too fast. I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause." Or, "I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual." These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen, learn the symptoms, and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
More of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a great guest for you this half hour. Dawn Leslie Fielding is a licensed respiratory therapist who got interested. Well, we'll find out why she got interested so much in this disease. But COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, is the third leading cause of death in the United States, with more than 11 million people diagnosed with it. But an estimated 24 million probably have the disease, obviously 13 million without even knowing it. It causes serious lifelong and long-term disability and early death. At this time, there's no cure, and the number of people dying from it is increasing fairly substantially. Dawn, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And the book is titled The COPD, for Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Solution. So what motivated you to write the book? You're obviously caring for people with the disease. Why'd you decide to write this book?
You know, I initially started writing the book I owned a couple pulmonary rehab clinics and caring for the patients on a daily basis that suffer from this disease. I was looking for some literature or something that I could put in their hands that they could take notes in, that we could use in our educational series of classes that we had. And that's really where the book started. I initially anticipated having a 30 to 35 page, you know, little notebook that they could take notes in and we could review, and it just continued to grow and grow. And I realized that there's just kind of a lack of resources out there for these patients. So I wanted to see what I could do to help contribute to helping them have what they need, improve their life, and make some progress. So many of them feel like they, you know, they get this diagnosis and they feel so poorly. They don't realize that there's little tiny things that they could change every day in their life to really make a drastic improvement in the way they feel and the quality of their life. So that's where it all started.
Well, what can most of them do? What you've got 10 steps in this plan for the COPD solution. First, how do you use the book to get those 10 steps? And then are those 10 steps, which should everyone do, and what are the 10 steps?
So the 10 steps start with, and it kind of depends on the person and maybe what your initial or your most prominent issue might be. The 10 steps include everything from diet change to medications, covering oxygen therapy, and several little things that they can do throughout their life and throughout their day to help improve things. So depending on what your primary issue may be, let's say that we need to start with breathing retraining with somebody. So that might be the first chapter to go to.
How do you know if you have to start with breathing retraining? In other words, what would signal that they need breathing?
That's one of the first things that I usually tackle is the breathing retraining. And that is because due to the shortness of breath that these patients usually feel, they tend to do less, they're less active, they move around less because they feel short of breath, and they're frightened, and they suffer from a lot of anxiety trying to navigate and, you know, determine what is safe to do and what isn't safe to do, how far do I push myself. So we start with a breathing retraining simply because that addresses the issue immediately, and that's something that they need to start practicing immediately. We'll try pursed-lip breathing.
And give me a hint, what do you mean by breathing retraining?
What we start with first, and what I've seen most with my patients, is they'll come in and they feel short of breath, and their first response is to open the biggest hole and get as much air as fast as they can. So that seems like the natural thing to do. But what we know is that when we do that, it's actually counterproductive, and it's making it more difficult for them to recover from whatever activity or whatever they've been doing to bring on the shortness of breath. So the first thing that we do is practice pursed-lip breathing. And I always tell them, it's smell the cake and blow out the candles. So you're in through your nose and then you're out through your mouth, just like you're blowing out candles on your birthday cake. And what that does is build the back pressure all the way back to the air sacs so that you can get more of the air out of the lung, so that the next breath you take, that space can be filled with oxygenated air. So working on that is a really important thing to do, and that's usually where we start.
Now, what would be number two? Okay, so
we're
now breathing okay. What do we do next?
Along with that, we also practice diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing to strengthen the accessory muscles so that they have a little bit of extra strength to help with the breathing suffering. The next thing that we usually tackle would be medications. We want to make sure that they're taking these medications to the best of their ability. I had one lady come in. We were doing her therapy, and she was, you know, suffering from a little shortness of breath, and it was about time for her medication dose. So she pulled a spoon out of her pocket, and she got her inhaler out, and she sprayed the inhaler on the spoon, and then she licked the spoon. So I thought, okay, well, this was only the second visit that I'd have with this particular patient. So we immediately, of course, went into medication. We want to make sure that they know these medications are designed to be effective and they're very good. But we want to make sure that the delivery of those medications is optimal. So we teach them
So spraying it on a spoon wasn't exactly the right thing to do.
That's right. We want to make sure that you're inhaling that medication. With the inhalers, that needs to go down and get deposited into the lungs. So having it on a spoon, it's not an oral medication to take that way. So it's just not effective. So we want to make sure that
number
they know,
three,
you know.
Number three in your list.
Number three we usually tackle is nutrition. We'll start kind of assessing the patient's diet. You know, what are your favorite drinks? What are your favorite kind of foods? What are your daily habits? So we look at those and we assess those things. And then we teach a little bit on what kind of foods they eat or they consume that actually make it more difficult for them to breathe. And in doing so, we'll talk about eliminating soda. We'll talk about replacing, you know, maybe they drink excessive coffee or a lot of soda. We'll start incrementally replacing some of that with water. Want to make sure that they have enough water to keep the mucus that's in their lungs. A lot of them have excess mucus. We want to make sure that it's they're hydrated well enough so that it'll move effectively when we cough. We want to make sure that they're not having too much carbonation or too many high refined sugar foods, because the way those break down in the body creates extra CO2 or carbon dioxide in the blood, and that actually makes the breathing more difficult. So that's usually the first three things that we tackle.
And now, when one of these in the book is essentially accepting your diagnosis as well, that is accepting the fact that you've got COPD and you've got to get treatment for it. In that acceptance, how many people is that a big deal? Is it easy to get people to accept that diagnosis, or is that a real tough part of the problem?
The part that's real tough about that is the anxiety that is associated with it. You don't really recognize how valuable your breaths are until it's hard to take those. And so once they get this diagnosis and they... What was that?
Until they get this diagnosis.
Yeah, once they get this diagnosis, and they hear a little, I've had a lot of patients that come in and their education is really lacking in this, which creates a lot of anxiety. Understanding it is really important, and it's an important role to accept it. Once you accept it, the anxiety level changes and the outlook changes. So you're not looking at this as apprehensively as you do before. You know, traditionally or historically with my patients when they come in, once we get to this point where they say, okay, I understand this, this is what I have, that's kind of a big turning point, because then we can...
And when we come back, we'll get back with Dawn Leslie Fielding, The COPD Solution, a wonderful book, wonderful plan if you have someone with COPD.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger, because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at exactmind.com. That's the letter X, ACTmind.com. Exactmind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water.
Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits
with customized tracking and personalized reminders.
Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and improve your water intake. Set your goals, record your consumption, and get Waterlogged's exclusive smart reminders to alert you when you're behind pace to meet your daily goal and when it's time to hydrate. Optimal water intake is a goal that you can successfully achieve, and it'll make a measurable impact on how you feel and your overall health,
because every system in your body depends on water.
People who use reminders are 5 times more likely to reach their goals consistently, so let Waterlogged help you stay on track. Waterlogged is compatible with Apple Health and Fitbit, so you can log your water with the best app in the App Store and get a full picture of your health in your favorite app.
Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You, of course, can send us emails anytime for questions at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. And, of course, call in with questions, 844-305-7800. And before we get to a question from Jim Graham in this hour, I want to continue one of the things that you have in the book, The COPD Solution. By the way, it's COPD, thecopdsolution.com is how you get to the website, thecopdsolution.com, to the website for getting to Dawn Leslie Fielding, and you can obviously order the book on Amazon, etc., is that you talk about yoga in the book. And people will say, are you teaching them yoga just for the breathing exercise? Are you teaching it for the stress relief? Are you teaching it for the exercise? Or do you know what is the benefit they get from yoga? Or does it just seem to work and we'll have to figure out why it's working later?
The answer to that is yes. Yes for the breathing, yes for the stress relief, and yes for the strength. I've had patients that come in. One gentleman in particular came in, and he had gotten to a point where he even sold his chickens. He had a little farm, and he sold his chickens because he couldn't walk to the back of his yard to feed his chickens anymore. And after a few, it was probably about 3 months of doing the program, He had built his strength up enough to where we start our yoga on a chair, modified positions, and he was doing floor positioning, you know, just put his oxygen tank right next to him, and he was just going right along with the best of them in the yoga. And it's just amazing, the flexibility and the strength and the breathing, and the stress relief is also important. It's really important that they form, I guess for all of us, that we form a mind-body connection. We need to listen to our bodies and give them what they need. Then get used to what they're telling us. Be in touch with what we need to feed ourselves, whether it's positive self-statements, whether it's nutritious food, whether it's, you know, a day to relax or a moment to relax, a few deep breaths. I mean, it could be any of those things. We just need to be sure to be in tune with that. And that's one of the things that the yoga helps with the most.
Now, how much of the, and are you seeing, you're seeing more women with the problem? Why is that?
You know, I think it may come back to jobs. It may come back to being, you know, exposure to different elements in the air. It may come back to life expectancy. It just kind of, there's various reasons why that could be the case.
We have a caller on the line, Jim Graham, who is a frequent caller to the show, and I love. Jim, tell us, talk to us.
Okay. Don, thank you so much for taking my call. I got to make a statement at the beginning. You're preaching to the choir right here, because I was a smoker in the late 50s and up until the early 70s, and I played sports, and I used to get out of breath all the time, and I used to have bronchitis every year, two or three times. But since I've quit smoking, no more bronchitis, and I'm getting old now. I can't run like I used to, but I breathe normally and everything else. And I was, one of my questions was, there's two questions, basically. One question is, how do you convince people, or can you convince anybody that's been a smoker, that if they quit, some of these things are going to leave them, you know, like the bronchitis and the pneumonia. And also, the second question is, if you damage your lungs from smoking, is it true that your lungs will heal themselves over time?
Okay, so question number one regarding smoking. We always urge and encourage and offer as much help as possible and as many resources as it takes to help somebody overcome that and be able to quit smoking. It does, however, take quite a bit of determination and a mindset from the individual themselves. I have found in my practice that you can give somebody as many tools as you have or as many tools as they need, and until they make the determination that it is what they need to do for themselves, they aren't going to help. So we always try to encourage them and do whatever we can on our side of things, but it ultimately comes down to really, you know, that person making the decision for themselves that that's what they need to do.
The second question was about your lungs healing themselves after they may have been damaged by the smoking.
What you'll find with the lungs is things that will improve are, like you've experienced, the breathing is better. You know, you have less mucus. You might be coughing fewer times during the day. But the damage that is done clear down in the air sacs, unfortunately, is not something that is repairable. So you may see some symptom reverse, but the damage itself to the little air sacs in the lungs is not something that will regenerate and repair itself. But
so
that doesn't mean...
So the bottom line is, do not even start smoking, because
you're going to do damage
to your lungs immediately.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was just on Capitol Hill, you know, a month ago, trying to change some legislation for smoking with the children. We work a lot trying to just discourage that and stop that right before it starts. Yeah, it's always better to not do that at all, for sure.
Thank you so much. That was very interesting. Thank you, Mike.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Have you seen any start of this with hookah bars and hookah smoking, since that is in our kids? I don't know if it's reached the age of causing a problem in at the COPD level yet.
Right. I think that's yet to be determined in large part because we've got to wait for enough years to go by that where we can see the long-term results of that. But I think a lot of people do have the misconception that smoking an e-cig is just fine. It's okay. There's no damage done, which is not the case. And I mean, you can read any headlines on e-cigs and you can find that to be the truth with those. They're very damaging as well as regular cigarettes.
And now when someone starts yoga, this is a question we got on the email list, how exhausted do they get? And can anyone start yoga at any time?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. Yes, anyone can start. And here's the measurement that I use so that people can determine how far to push themselves. It's called the Borg scale. It's a scale from 1 to 10, and it's very similar to the pain scale that your doctors will ask. You know, you go into your visit or the emergency room, what is your pain from a 1 to 10? I like to ask, what is your level of exhaustion or your level of exertion between a 1 and a 10? And when they are getting to where they're a 6 or a 7, I don't ever want them to go beyond that. That's the state we try to stay at. You'll perpetually be able to do more to get to that level, but you don't want to push yourself too far beyond that, especially if you're at home and you're by yourself instead of in a facility where you have...
The book is The COPD Solution by Dawn Leslie Fielding. We'll be right back.